I introduce to you tonight the youngest camp meeting speaker that we have ever had for an evening service in the Alaska Yukon District. I am proud to say that he is one of our very own. I am proud to say that he has traveled all across the United States of America for the last 8 or 9 years in a full-time evangelistic ministry, preaching countless revivals from hither to yon. He has not been confined to the lower 48 or the upper 49th, but he is now an international evangelist, having preached in South America. And we are so proud of this young man that's going to come and preach to us tonight. I've tried to harass him and tried to keep him from feeling nervous all at the same time. And I said, Brother Josh, if we can just get in the channel, if we can just get in the channel and you do your thing, God is going to take care of the rest of it. So I bring to you tonight Brother Josh Herring, originally from Palmer, Alaska.
Let's clap our hands to Jesus Christ tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that warm welcome. And thank you to the Alaska District Board, Brother Parrish, Brother Glover, for asking me to do this. This is a little nerve-wracking for a 28-year-old. But especially when the general superintendent is in the house. And I give him honor tonight. I'm so glad that he is here and such an honor to meet him. I'm thankful very much that he came. Amen. And I give honor to all the pastors that are here. And it's great to see a bunch of old friends. And glad to have my dad here tonight. And also my beautiful wife, Janae. And we appreciate all your prayers and support. And I cannot wait to see what God's going to do tonight in this service. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe in God for miracles, signs, and wonders. And I know He will come through. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, very, very famous text, very famous passage. Everybody knows the story. Mark chapter 2. Apologize for the voice. Verse 1 through verse number 5. Man. Bible says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Look at your neighbor and say, when faith goes through the roof, something's about to happen tonight. I believe apostolic revival is going to explode across the district after tonight. I believe we're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost the next couple years that Alaska has ever seen. God did 25 in youth camp. I think he can do a lot more than that in the next couple months. Why don't we put our Bibles down, our praise up right now. Jesus, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your power and thank you for your spirit. I pray you baptize this house with your fire and your anointing and your glory tonight. In the name of the Lord, loose your dominion. Loose the gift of faith. Right now in this place, in the name of Jesus, I bless the holy name of the Lord. Can you clap your hands to Jesus Christ one more time? Hallelujah to the Lamb, Messiah, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Have your way in this house tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Praise the Lord. mostly everybody in this building has a roof on their faith somewhere. Regardless of how great their faith is, somewhere out there, there is a barrier. Not everybody, but mostly everybody. Some people believe that God can heal anything. They've seen him heal cancer. They've seen him do great miracles. But yet they struggle financially. So they're not quite sure that God's the provider for them because they struggle so much in their money. Some people believe the exact opposite. God can provide anything, but because they've lost loved ones to spirits or sicknesses, and they struggle believing God can heal something that's going on right now in their life. It's the roof. It's the thing that shows up that causes you to doubt if God's going to answer the prayer. It's the thing that talks to your mind. It's the doubt that you deal with. It's the unbelief that no one hears but you in the silences of the night. It's the thing that everybody in this house probably has somewhere. Some people have great faith in this house and they believe God can do just about anything because they've seen God do just about anything. The more you go through, the more testimonies you have that God really can do anything. These four men in our text had incredible faith. I think they had greater faith than anybody in that house that day because they didn't go to the house just to get their seat like everybody else did. They picked up the lame man and said, "We believe God is going to do a miracle today and we have the faith for it." While everybody else said, "Let's just get a front row spot," these guys said, "I wonder what would happen if we brought the lame man to Jesus. I believe God could heal him." I like that kind of faith that says, "I'm not going to church just by myself. But let me find something or somebody that has a need and get them in the house of God, in the presence of the Lord. Because if I get them there, the power of God could consume them in a moment and everything could be changed." They had unbelievable faith, incredible faith. They picked up the man, carried him across the desert road, across the dust. No doubt after a while it got tiring. Walking step after step, people passing them by left and right, getting ahead of them in life, getting ahead of them closer to God. And yet they kept carrying that heaviness, carrying that burden, believing that when they got them and got him to the presence of God, God would do something supernatural. I believe there are people in this room right now that know what it feels like to have to carry somebody. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. Maybe it's a lost son or daughter that you've carried for a while. You've carried them and you've prayed and you've watched other people's kids pray through. Or maybe it's a pastor in this house who you've tried so hard to have revival and it seems like nothing is breaking loose. Nothing is going the way you want it to. And you're hearing all the reports of everybody else's revival and yet you still carry that heaviness, believing God someday, somehow, the miracle is going to happen. They got all the way to the house. Everything was going great. Everything was supposed to happen just right. Open the door. Go see Jesus. Watch a miracle take place. But when they got there, the door was blocked off and they had to carry him up the stairs. Have you ever had to carry something longer than you thought you'd have to carry it? Have you ever had to carry somebody longer than you thought you'd have? Surely by now they'd have prayed through. Surely by now wouldn't be up pacing the floor at 3 a.m. saying, "God, protect them tonight. Keep your hand on them tonight." Surely by now something would have changed. Something would have, some kind of sign would have been there. But yet you find yourself going up the spiritual stairs, so to speak, with that problem or that person saying, "I wish God would answer. I wish God would move. I hope God does it. But I'm having to carry something longer than I thought I'd have to carry it." Thought for sure we'd have revival by now. Thought for sure something would have changed by now. Carrying him up step by step by step, exhausted but still expecting. And that will preach. People that are exhausted but still expect God to move will see God move eventually. You may be tired and worn out tonight and weary from everything that 2011 has done to you. But if you have expectation in your spirit, I promise you that God's hand is somewhere near you right now. You don't get exhausted and still expect God to move if the presence of God is not somewhere in your life already. So they brought him up the stairs, and even they, these four men of incredible faith, found their roof. Carried him all the way up and realized they had to break through the roof to get to Jesus. And the Bible said as they began to uncover the roof and tear it apart, when they finally got that hole in the roof, that Jesus looked up, did not see four men, did not see a cot, did not see a bed, did not even see a lame man. But the Bible said he saw their faith coming through the roof. What would happen tonight if our faith went through the roof to a God of glory? I believe he is watching this service. I believe he's in here in this service. I believe he wants somebody to take the roof off spiritually and believe that no matter what the doctor has said, no matter what the counselor believes is right, that if I believe God enough, something. I dare you right now to praise him. I dare you right now to believe that anything can happen in this service right now. God healed somebody 3 nights ago right here. Why could he not do it tonight? Why could he not change something tonight? Why could he not perform tonight? Their faith went through the roof. Sometimes, in some services, you've got to let your faith just explode. Noah let the dove go, and he comes back with an olive leaf. And the Bible said that Noah uncovered the ark or took the roof off. All he's got is one little olive leaf, one little sight. He can't even see the ground because when he took the roof off, he saw the ground was dry. So he could not even see the ground when the olive leaf came back. But Noah had a revelation. If God gives me a small sign, I need my faith to go through the roof right then. Because if God says one little word to me, it may be an olive leaf. But if it's an olive leaf, it's a miracle on the outside. But my faith has to go through. We were preaching in Houston, Texas, sometime late summer, and we were there in this Spanish church, and the youth pastor told me how his 12-year-old boy, Jacob, the prior year before, had some serious lung condition. They didn't understand what it was, so they took him to the doctor. They had no money. The doctor said he needs surgery immediately or he will die. They said, how much will the surgery cost? They said, $12,000. They said, we have no money in our account at all. We can't afford anything. He said, well, I'll give you 30 days to make up your mind. But after 30 days, he could go anytime. It's very that serious. So the man and his wife said, we are going to pray and fast for the next 30 days for God to do something for our boy Jacob. Day 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 went by. They got to day 28. They had a doctor's appointment scheduled. They went back in. The doctor said, everything's still horrible. He needs this surgery. You've got to do it. They said, we don't have $12,000. He said, can you put half down? Do you have $6,000? They said, we don't have anything. We've tried to save the last couple of paychecks, but we don't have anything like that. He said, well, you're going to have to do something. He cannot make it much longer. They went back to their house, and they were very downtrodden. They were very discouraged. They were very wearied, obviously, at the report from the doctor. And they went back praying, God, we've believed. We've expected. We've carried this. We've wanted you to do it. Where are you at? What do we do now? And the 29th day was the next morning. They got a phone call, and the doctor said, I've scheduled your son's surgery for tomorrow morning. Bring him in. They said, why did you do that? We don't have the money for it. He said, well, come in and I'll explain it to you. So they went in there, and he said, I've scheduled the surgery for 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I want you to bring Jacob in. And they said, we don't have the money for it. He said, you probably won't believe this, but this morning when I walked in my office, there was an envelope on the floor. It said, for Jacob's surgery. I opened it up, and there was $12,000 in it. They hadn't told anybody about it except the Lord. But their faith continued to grow. When you will believe God, no matter what anything around you says, no matter what the environment in your city says, you can have revival. You can see growth. You can have miracles. That's why Jesus looked at Martha and said, roll away the stone. It was 26 steps down inside the tomb where Lazarus was. That stone was on top of the grave. It was not like something in front of them. It was on top of the grave. And Jesus said, I know you want to see me raise him from the dead. But until you remove the barrier off the roof to your miracle, I can't do a thing for him. But if your faith would take the roof off tonight and say, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know when God's going to do it. And I don't know where God's going to do it, but somehow, some way, God will do it. I wish you would get your faith out right now. I'm believing God for miracles beyond imagination.
A few months ago in Indiana, a man went into the hospital, 70, I think it was 72 years old. They told him, you have stage 4 cancer tumors throughout your entire stomach. Set your house in order. There's no way you can survive this. They were Pentecostal, this man and his wife. The wife looked back at the doctor and said, we thank you for that, but we don't receive that report. God's going to heal him. The doctor said, I don't know whose God you serve, but you better just get everything ready because he doesn't have much time left. She said, again, thank you for that, but we don't receive that. You see, her faith was through the roof. And as they went back and they had some kind of appointment scheduled to send a scope down his throat, they were praying, obviously, believing God. And so they scheduled the day for the scope to go down his throat. When they got to the doctor's office, and the doctor was from India, and the assistant was a Pentecostal man from the Church of the Man with Cancer. And so they took him in, and they got the scope ready. The nurses were all around him. The Pentecostal assistant was here. The Indian doctor was here. They put the scope down his neck. And the Pentecostal assistant, as he was standing there, felt something touch his back. And usually, he said, when someone touches your back in your middle of something this serious, you move to the side because they need the place where you're at. So he moved to the side, but nobody moved in. So he went back to his spot and began to do his thing. And again, he felt the hand touch his back. So he turned around. And when he turned around, he said a 9-foot man was standing behind him. He said he felt the power of the Holy Ghost so strong, he started talking in tongues right in front of the Indian doctor and right in front of the nurses. He said the nurses shook their heads, but the Indian doctor just kept staring at him. Why was he doing this? And so they put the scope down the throat, and there was no tumors anywhere in the body. The cancer was gone. But that's not the real miracle. That's powerful, but there's something greater than that. This Pentecostal assistant was so overwhelmed when he found out there were no tumors. He went to another room, shut the door, and began to pray and worship God. The Indian doctor walked in, slammed the door behind him, and started yelling at him in his native tongue. Pentecostal assistant said, why are you yelling at me? He said, and he yelled at some other words in his native language. And the Pentecostal assistant said, I don't even know what you're saying. He said, yes, you do. You speak my language. He said, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. He said, no, I don't. He said, then how come in that surgery you moved to the side and in my native tongue said, what was old I have now made new? Oh, I wish you would get your faith out right now. We could have a radical camp meeting if somebody would just believe that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. But our faith has to go through. Why don't you take 30 seconds right now and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is able to do anything in this house. All you need is to get your faith out. I believe more than ever it is time for Alaska to become apostolic. Let the book of Acts continue. Let us see things that nobody else sees. Let us pray for things nobody else prays for. Let's see God do the stuff we hear about. I'm not trying to bring a bunch of testimonies here, but I feel like faith is trying to rise beneath the surface right now. And if it gets high enough, anything can happen in this building. Anything. Jesus is here. Where is the roof on my faith right now? Where is it at? Let me find it. I don't want to raise the roof. I want to go through the roof. I don't want to see my faith go higher. I want my faith to explode in dimensions it's never been to before. I want to see God do miracles in any kind of way. God can do financial miracles, physical miracles, emotional miracles, spiritual miracles. God can really do anything in this house. I remember at Florida camp meeting a couple of years ago, Jack Cunningham was preaching, and he was preaching an awesome message about the end time and going after souls and revival and everything. And as he was doing it, people were putting money on the altar. And this young man stood beside me. I'll never forget as long as I live. And he stood there, and he was kind of acting like he wanted to go up there. So I had $10 left. I gave him the $10. I said, "Hey, go up there, put this on the altar, and God's going to bless you." He said, "No, he won't." Now, I was a single evangelist at the time. That was my Taco Bell money for after church. I said, "Bro, take that money and put it on the altar and God will bless you." He said, "No, he won't. He'll bless you." I said, "No, he'll bless you." He said, "I don't believe it." I said, "Put it on the altar. I'm putting you on the altar, Isaac." He said, "Well, I don't think it'll work." I said, "Do you have a need in your life?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Take this, put it on the altar. God will bless you." He said, "Okay." Puts it on the altar, starts shouting, "Worship God." I went home mad. Had to drive by Taco Bell instead of pull into Taco Bell. That's a horrible day. Now, Mary and Janae doesn't really like to go there, so I just look the other way when we drive. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that temptation. So we were worshiping God. He was going crazy, and service ended, and I went to another church to start revival that following Tuesday. Walked in, guess who's on the front row? Doubting Thomas himself, just sitting right there. I said, "Oh, we're going to have a great service tonight. Radical faith will be in here." And I saw him, and as I was going to preach, he was going like this, "Remember me? No, refresh my memory, Satan." He's jumping up and down. He's worshiping. I said, "Man, God must have done something for him. He didn't deserve it, but God did something for him." He runs up after church. "Remember me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're never going to believe what happened." I said, "Try me." He said, "You know that service the other night?" I said, "Yeah." "You know that $10? I said, "Yeah." He said, I didn't have a job. And he said, "When you asked me, do you have a need, that was the need I had. So I put that on the altar." He said, "Monday morning, I went in for an interview. I got a job." I said, "Well, praise God." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "I went back Tuesday morning," which was this morning. He said, "I went back in this morning. They looked over my resume and said, 'We're not going to start you off down here. We're going to make you a manager, giving you $52,000 a year to start off.'" I said, "If your faith would simply rise, God could really do some stuff. It doesn't matter what it is, what dimension it is, faith really does bring the miraculous. I wish somebody right now would ignore everything around them and start worshiping God for future miracles right now. I wish you would start worshiping God for revival in your city. I wish you would start praising God for something beyond imagination. I promise you, if you'll get your faith out, I feel like preaching, if you'll get your faith out, God can do it. 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 I feel the anointing of the Spirit in this place right now. Where there is faith, where there is faith, where there is faith. Why don't we stand to our feet right now in the name of Jesus? Now, you're going to have to forgive me because I'm not... This is not, you know, like a thing I do all the time here. But I just believe, I don't know how camp meeting normally goes because I've been gone so long. But I believe, I'm going to step on the water here. I really believe that miracles are supposed to happen tonight. I really believe that if you believe God enough, God will hear you and God can do anything. That's half of you. I believe really it can happen to everybody in this building. Whoever raises their faith high enough can really see God do something supernatural. I'm challenging everybody in this house right now to get out of your flesh and activate the spirit that's inside you and just believe God for something beyond what even these walls can hold. What revival do you want in your church? What revival do you want in your youth group? What kind of healing can God give your body? What do you want God to do for your marriage? Why don't you activate your faith right now? Because where faith is, God is going to move. Where there's faith, there will be power. If you've got pain in your body, I challenge you to get in this altar right now. If you've got pain in your body, I challenge you to get in the altar right now. If you've got something going on and you need a miracle from God, I challenge you to get in the altar right now and say, God, whatever you want to do, do it. But my faith is rising. I believe anything can happen. Loose my faith. Release my faith. Release your anointing. Release your power. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to hold you much longer. I really feel the Spirit of God trying to interrupt this house. Why don't we let God take over right now? Why don't we believe God for the miraculous? Why don't we believe God for anything? I'm telling you, the Spirit is in this house. Loose the gift of faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Loose the gift of faith right now. God, touch Sister Wagner right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Touch that body right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Take every pain away right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe demonstration should happen tonight. I believe we should see God do anything. I believe faith is trying to explode in here. Why don't you lay your hands on somebody beside you and speak the gift of faith? God can do anything. God can do anything. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in Jesus. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of somebody needs to tear a hole in the roof right now. Somebody needs to say, God is going to do it. God, you're able. I praise you. I worship you. You're going to do it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, Mother Men in Hall. In the name of Jesus, let the anointing fall on you right now. I'm believing God. Can you get your faith out? Can you activate your faith right now? God can do anything.